That was Joe Bonamassa off of Had to Cry Today. That was The River. Thanks so much for suggesting that song, Brian.
Thank you. Yeah, Joe Bonamassa has just kind of drawn me in. He's who's on my main Pandora right now. Always love the blues, but he's got a good mix of really good acoustic with electric Stevie Ray Vaughan. Kind of like to think of him as a cross between Stevie Ray Vaughan with B.B. King.
Have you ever seen him live?
I haven't. A friend or two of mine has, and he's just amazing. Watched live performances on YouTube and whatnot, but he's amazing. The close-up camera shots on his fingers, because some of the riffs are just so fast, and maybe that's part of the fascination. It's something that I could never see myself doing, so I'm fascinated by it.
Have you ever gone to try to play an instrument? Have you ever?
I played guitar for about, or should I say bass guitar, when I was 10 for about 6 months. And, you know, I was 10, so I wasn't getting good quick enough, so I quit. But I was taught on Nirvana because it's the same basic four bass chords for most of the songs. But, you know, I've always had music in my blood, just doesn't come out of my body very much, or my singing voice, which...
Well,
you know.
Words come out of your body.
Yes.
And Joe
yes.
Bonamassa might not be,
yes.
like, there's certain things that people are inclined to do, and you're
yeah.
more inclined to write novels.
Yes.
This is Brian Radson, who is a local author, and you have this series that's out now called Search for the Truth, and you have the fourth installment in the series?
Yes, the fourth one I released last fall, and I'm actually editing on the fifth one of the series, hopefully I have out this fall. But it's basically a vehicle that gives me a chance to talk about a lot of issues going on these days. Each one's kind of about a different subject, but it's woven through a fun adventure story, love, humor, suspense, political intrigue, and hopefully a lot of things people can relate to. I always felt like I always had a great respect for satire. I feel like you can get a stronger message across when you can either make people laugh or, you know, bring down their stress level and everything a little bit more, then you spit some truth at them, because they're more likely to maybe absorb the knowledge when, you know, they're don't have their guard up.
And yeah, literature can help you gain a different perspective,
yes,
on something.
Most definitely. Most
so
definitely.
So the first book that you wrote, mm-hmm. what was the issue that you looked at?
Well, the issue there,
and what's the title of it again?
The first one was The Seeker Begins.
Mm-hmm.
The Seeker, and it came from my favorite, one of my favorite Who songs, The Seeker, all about basically
nice.
Asking questions and realizing you're not going to get the real answers you seek until you're gone from this plane of existence. But back to the story at hand. Sorry, I can get sidetracked quite easily. Anyway, the first book basically sets up all the characters. He's a small town reporter, breaks a big story, gets a big job in New York, gets thrown into the halls of power. He uncovers a scheme dealing with illegal immigration linked with insider trading. So it kind of links those two things. They take down a corrupt congressman. By the end of the book, they take down the president, and the whole series just kind of snowballs from there.
Okay, and then the second one is The Next Step.
Yes, The Next Step. That one basically starts Jason, who's my main character, and his girlfriend Christina. The second one starts when they're on the run, because obviously they just took down the president, and they follow this mysterious postcard to Cuba. And so it deals with a lot of water issues and desalination, and just with all the oil pipelines and things that were being built. I felt like, well, what would be wrong with building some kind of crazy water pipeline to pipe all the snow and ocean water from the East Coast to the West Coast, where all the droughts are, with increasingly fast desalination technology? Now, obviously, my mind isn't scientific enough to come up with that, but I'm more the idea guy and throwing those kind of things out there, and so people can think about them, really.
Okay, and then the third one's Journey into the Abyss?
Yes, Journey into the Abyss. Dealt with private armies and militias, and when I started thinking about that, it always led me back to the Mossad for some reason. So then the story kind of ended up in Jerusalem, and dealt with the Palestinian-Israeli conflict, which I've felt passionate about for a long time. Both sides of my family are Jewish. Grandma was born in Palestine. So it was just, it gave me a vehicle to talk about a lot of that. They start stop this big arms deal, and I promote a way they basically come together through their human side, and some people might read it and think it's kind of simple, the ideas that I appeal to in it, but it's basically just getting back to what makes us human. You know, remembering that, you know, there's some universal truths that kind of flow through all of us, and the more we get away from that, the bigger problems arise. So we basically can come together through the, you know, 90% of things that we can agree, we all know we can agree on.
What would you say some of those are?
Oh, we all want to make a better life for ourselves, our family. We want to be happy. We don't want to struggle. We don't, you know, and we're all coming to these things from different paths and different trails and everything. But we're all going towards the same basic thing. So I feel like if we can start the conversation there and get used to talking to each other as humans and kind of regular people again, maybe we have a chance to solve some of these bigger issues and these generational things that we can't seem to get past, because laws were passed, but that didn't change people's emotions right away. And that there's where the hard work lies. And all those emotions boiled over in 2016 with, you know, what the election and everything. So just brought a lot of those ideas to the surface. And so,
and you talk on some other issues in A Rude Awakening.
Yes, I do. In that one, that was definitely, I wrote it during the election, and so it definitely was my way to channel a lot of the thoughts I had. It's based in the South, deals with a lot of racial issues and social engineering of people. They elect a new president. He moves the capital to Alabama, and not so overtly, not exactly reigniting the Civil War, but all the feelings, all the you know, old kind of Confederate feelings that have been, you know, simmering under the surface for a long time. They, you know, I kind of bring that out. And so,
but you also talk about people that have that sort of perspective.
Yes.
Coming around.
Yes. And part of that is there's a classic redemption story in it. I specifically chose one of the most stereotypical Southern names I could think of, Billy Bob. And the only reason I did that was because he basically represented, say, old racists that house all these old, you know, terrible, violent beliefs, and did a lot of bad things and a lot of bad actions and burned crosses and all this other stuff. But then something happens and he turns over a new leaf in the fact that he sees everything he did is wrong, and now he's fighting the good fight on the right side of history. But one of the important conversations I felt in the book was important was basically he is trying to bring around his nephew who's not seeing the light yet, so to speak. And I felt some, or still do, that sometimes some people are so far gone and so far down the rabbit hole that they have to kind of be brought up to, you know, the middle or somewhat normal before they can really make that transition into regular humanity, so to speak. So, big conversation. Basically, old racist turns over a new leaf, is helping his nephew kind of come around. And it, I felt like it was an important conversation to have, part of many conversations that need to be had, really.
And this is Brian Radson, for people who are just now tuning in. And you're talking about your Search for the Truth series.
Yes.
And you have a reading coming up.
Yes, I have a reading coming up at the HSU Library Fishbowl on the 13th, which is funny. I realized after I set it up, it's Friday the 13th. But I figured, you know, more college kids would probably be likely to go then than on 420. But
you should do some sort of spooky thing.
I should. I should. Yeah, maybe set up some cobwebs or something.
come with a the mask.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and then reveal it as I start reading or something and play some theatrics into it. I would love that.
Yeah. Or just play the Friday the 13th theme song.
Oh, there you go.
What's the fifth book going to be about? The reading's from the most recent, right?
Yes, the reading is from the most recent of my Search for Truth books here, A Rude Awakening. And then I do have a couple other collection books from the Mind of Critic. It's a daily blurb I do on my website and my Facebook, which Facebook Search for Truth series, YouTube, Instagram, Twitter at Brian Radson. And
that's spelled with a Brian with a Y,
yes,
and then R-A-D-Z-I-N.
Yes, sorry. But yeah, it just gives me a chance to put some good thoughts out there and some good questions. And as a writer, helps keep my flow going, because that's certainly important.
What's the fifth book about?
The fifth book will be, the whole kind of society is breaking down after, I don't want to give away the story too much, and it's still kind of being edited and shaped and everything. But basically, everything's going to break down. And the whole society, the whole system, and it's basically the old adage, or the, should I say, a physical representation of it has to get worse before it gets better. And I play it up to dramatic effect, and a lot of violent stuff happens, and, you know, explosions and missiles and all this stuff. But the purpose is because by the end of the book, they're basically rebuilding the whole political system. And I can tell that every book that I've ever written has been building up to the next book in the series, which will be the sixth one, where basically they rebuild the whole political system. I'm going to be putting all my ideas out there of what I believe a perfect governmental system would be, and every kind of aspect of that. And so I feel like I had to write, 10 books before I could even get to a point, intellectually or emotionally or whatnot, to where I could write something like that. So that's the one I'm really looking forward to.
How many books do you think will be in the series?
I believe there'll be 7.
Okay.
And I had that number because I could certainly end it at 6. But I was a big fan of the Celestine Prophecy series. Some people may be familiar with it. James Redfield, kind of discovering these new spiritual ideas. The first book was basically the ideas, or excuse me. The first book is basically the ideas get put out there and people discover them. Second book is putting those ideas into practice. The third book was how far those ideas can go with a society, people living with them. And then the last one was basically everybody knows about this great idea, but they have a choice and it can go either way. And so I want the last book of the series to wrap it up, because people are going to see how good and how great and how everything it can be. Not utopia by any means, but as about as good as it can get. But they'll have a choice to see how it can flip back immediately when they become complacent and apathetic.
How often do you go to your alma mater for a reading?
This is the first time I've been to HSU. I've been trying to get in there for a little bit and finally had the opportunity.
Well, high five.
I'm pretty excited about that.
There we go.
Yes. And obviously I want my audience to be as wide as possible, and everybody should read it, because I think there's a lot of universal themes that run throughout my book: humanism, accountability.
And your books will be available there at the reading. Are they available anywhere else in town?
Yes, they are available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Google Books. I like to drive the traffic to Lulu, just because they're a great independent bookseller that I publish through. And
are they available at Northtown or...?
There's a couple of them at Northtown, but what would be even better is if people went in there and just requested them order it. Because usually if there's not a big following, which obviously is what I'm trying to build, they usually will set it on a local author's table, and there's not much drummed up about it. So the best thing, they can certainly go into any bookstore and have them order it, or order online, or at one of my readings. I certainly always have copies. But what's also neat is if they order it online, it's printed and it's just printed right then and sent to them brand new. Which is the great thing about Lulu, is if someone buys my first book 10 years from now, it's printed in fresh and brand new.
Because it's
all digital files now. The things like that weren't available even 10 years ago. So it's cool, and it'll never go out of print.
And once again, this is Brian Radson, and that's spelled BryanRadzin. And we're talking about his Search for the Truth series, which
yes,
you can go ahead and check out. And the reading that we're discussing that's coming up is on Friday the 13th at 7?
At 6. 6 to 8 in the HSU Library Fishbowl.
Okay, cool. That'll be really super cool.
Yes.
What challenges have you come upon when trying to pursue your dream to become an author?
Well, for me, a lot of it was you know, self-sabotage. Maybe my self-esteem might have been low that I could even do this.
It's pretty incredible that you not only have one book published, but you have this series and then three others too?
Yeah, I basically did three kind of short essay collections before I did my Search for Truth series called Manifesto of a Madman for Good.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, wanted a catchy name, and, you know, always thought that, you know, a catchy title, someone would see that on a shelf and go, hey, I'm going to pick that up. But it was basically just to challenge myself to see if I could write something that long. The first book was 70 pages. It wasn't important how long it was. It was just to put it out. And the next one was a little longer. The next one was a little longer. And I just had to prove to myself that I could do it. And that's the interesting thing, that just like anything, the more you do it, the better you get. And I can certainly tell my writing is really improving. The books are getting a little better. And the one I'm working on now, and I'll have a 2017 collection also coming out in the fall. It'll be my 10th and 11th book, and it's crazy. The whole process is a marathon. You want to get it all done right away, but there's so much work, and it's, I guess the easiest way I could define it is that I've discovered what my process is and what works for me. And that's different for everybody. Most productive times of the day, how I can take care of myself so those productive times are more productive, being kind to myself, you know, and just seeing how everything's interconnected.
And you've gotten a lot of good response from your books.
Yeah, 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 I have. Yeah, you know, sold a few hundred copies, which is great, obviously.
I just sold a few hundred copies.
I'd love to sell, obviously, many more. That is the goal, yes. But it just feels really good to get out there in my readings, and because I'll read a few sections from the book, and then we'll have great discussion. And if people have questions or, you know, just comments, and we'll talk. And that's the whole idea of all my writing, is just getting people to talk to each other.
And this book that you're reading from, A Rude Awakening, seems like it'll really spark a lot of good discussion.
So yeah.
People should definitely go on over HSU Library Fishbowl, 6 p.m. on Friday, April 13th. That's two Fridays from now. It's coming up soon.
Yes.
Can you believe it?
Yeah, I can't. It's springtime already, though. I'm ready for the warm temperature.
So people should mark it on their calendars and make sure to check out brianradzin.com. That's BryanRadzin. And you're also on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, too.
Yes, I am.
And YouTube?
Yes, YouTube. I do have a podcast. We've filmed a few episodes, and there's some other short videos and things on there. I've always loved voice work. That's why I'm stoked to do this interview. Always loved radio and voice stuff. Wanted to be a play-by-play broadcaster when I was a kid, but just gravitated more towards writing when I got into school. But always loved voice stuff.
Being a play-by-play broadcaster, that's the same thing, especially
yeah.
if you are a color commentator.
Sure.
Because you're embellishing them.
Oh, it's great. Yeah. I love embellishing. It's what writing's all about.
All right. Brian Radzin coming up Friday, April 13th over at the HSU Library Fishbowl. And that's at 6 p.m. And it's free.
Yeah, definitely free. And bring all your friends.
We're going to go ahead and take a short break, and then we'll get into some more tunes. So make sure to stick around. You're listening to KHUM.